You're glad you're in the house of God tonight. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you're here too. I got something in here I wanted to read before I get started tonight, if I can find it. I have no idea what happened to it. I really don't. I had it in my Bible and I lost it somewhere. Yeah. No, I can't because it was written down. And I knew I wouldn't have it if I didn't write it down. Well, I didn't write that one down. I'll get it by bringing it in tomorrow night. It deals with faith promise missions and what God would do. But I do have this written down. Headstones.
Oh, yeah.
Graveyards. Sure. One said he loved bacon and his wife and kids too. One said, we once were where you are, you will be where we are, prepare. Here lies Henry Blake. He stepped on the gas instead of the brake. No one said, I told you I was sick. Here lies Brian Vickers, died October 10th, 1887, second fastest draw in New Austin, Texas.
Second fastest.
Here's the last one. I am dead, and I approve this message. Oh, me. Well, God is good, and I'm glad I could be here tonight with you again. And you know, Pastor and I have a lot of fun picking at each other, and I think we picked at each other since the first day we knew each other, you know.
And you know what? You don't treat any other preacher like that.
Yeah, he used to wear this goofy, like, boulder hat type thing. I think I first met you, you know. And
was that
what that was, a Stetson hat?
Yeah, it wore out.
Yeah, I got one too. You know about those Stetson hats now?
What's that?
They're all made in China. They're not made in the USA. Yep.
They used to be USA.
Yeah, USA only. Yeah, but not anymore, man, let me tell you. I got two or three of them, and my caps I wear, you know, yeah. Anyway, Revelation chapter 22 tonight with me, please. Revelation chapter 22. We're going to begin in a few moments here in verse 16, the last part of the chapter of Revelation 22, the last chapter in the Bible, and the last four things being said here in this text. So four last things out of Revelation chapter 22, verse 16 through verse 21. Let's read this. If you'd stand with me as we read tonight, if you're able to, please. And I know I don't always have you stand, but this evening I just felt like I'd tell you to get up because it's going to be an hour and a half message, so that way you can get your, you know, don't go to sleep, Ray. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I haven't preached an hour and a half in a long time. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Let's say that again. I, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus says, I've done this. That I am the root of the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book, or in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you for your word tonight. Use it to speak to our hearts. It's been prayed for already a few times today. I'm sure, God, that you'd have the honor and the glory now. We'll give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Someone asked me one time, they said, Brother Mike, what is the smallest crowd that you've ever preached to? in a church, and here it was, too. The pastor and his wife were the last two people in the church and would not shut the doors, brother, you know, and had me come for revival meetings, and I did revival meetings. By the end of the week, we had 35 to 40 people in the church. And how'd that happen, Brother Mike? Because that's the area I grew up in, and everybody who I knew wanted to come and hear what I had to say because they saw such a change in me.
Yeah.
And then I left, and nobody came back to the church. You know, it's sad. We even had some saved that week. And I know I had a stepsister that came out. She got saved years ago when I was preaching in Eagleville, Ohio, which is just up the road from where I grew up. In fact, it was the first church my wife and I started out in Ohio, and she had gotten saved, and her daughter had gotten saved, and they attended another church, but they were out that week, brought her husband out, he got saved that week, brought a nephew or a grandson out, another grandson, they got saved that week, and I tell you, just one of them weeks were bang, 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 bang. But if that pastor and his wife would have shut the doors because they were the last two there, those people never would have gotten saved. It just shows you God's in his work, amen? God's in the work. Well, I want to share with you these four last things here in the book of Revelation, if I may, this evening for a little bit. If nothing else, to encourage you, and nothing else, just to encourage you to continue on keeping the doors open, to continue on doing right, continue on being obedient to God in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. It'd be good sometime to come here and see the church full. Amen. It really would be. But, you know, God will use who God has. Are you ready to be used or willing to be used of God? Amen. And a lot of people will come to church, Pastor, but they're not willing to be used of God. They come and they sit in the pew and they sing the song and they'll sing specials, not picking on the specials, amen. I love the specials that have been sung this week, but sometimes people will sing specials and they say, that's all I'm going to do. That's my work for the Lord. No, God's got so much more for you and for me, amen. Look with me, if you will, here back in this text again, beginning in verse 16, 11. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. Jesus has done this. He said, I've sent my angel unto you, these things in the churches to testify unto you these things in the churches. Well, I've sent the angel to what churches? He's got seven churches in the book of Revelation. That's who he's talking to right here in the beginning of this chat, in the beginning of the book of Revelation, talking about those seven churches. I've sent my angel to you. Otherwise, I'm telling you what the word of God says, amen. And here's what I'm telling you. Listen to what he says. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. He said, that's what I am. He said, there's none greater than me. There's none before me. There's none after me. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. That who Jesus is, amen. We need to come back to the fact that we understand that no matter what you think, no matter what you believe, no matter what you think you know, Jesus is the only answer and the only answer for mankind, period. No other answer for mankind but Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for you and for me upon the very cross of Calvary. One of the four last things we see here, if you go to verse 17 with me, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is the last plea given in the Bible. The last plea given in the Bible.
Yeah.
And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that hears say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely.
Yeah.
You know, we have to understand something, that God is still pleading for man to be saved, still pleading for souls to come to him, still pleading for people to get right, still pleading for people to serve him, still pleading for people to follow him and obey him. That's what Christ does, him, and that's what God does. He wants us to be obedient to him. Hey, if you got saved by the very grace of God, you got the same Holy Spirit that I got. The same Holy Spirit that convicts me is the same Holy Spirit that convicts you. Don't get conviction mixed up with your choices that you make. No, conviction is a conviction of the Holy Spirit where he's dealing with your heart as a believer in Jesus Christ, and he's saying, you know this is not right, you know this is wrong, and you know this is what you need to do. We need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God, because God is still pleading with you to follow him and to obey him as a child of God. Amen. And he said, boy, he said, listen, and let him that is athirst come. This last plea, let him come. The book of Isaiah 55, verse 1 through 3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come unto ye unto the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy any. No money. He that has no money, come and buy. Boy, how can you buy it? Only Jesus Christ can buy it for you. He purchased it for you upon the cross of Calvary. Amen. He said, come and he said, hey, let him eat. Come and buy wine and milk. Don't confuse that wine with liquor. Amen. It's not liquor. Amen. Boy, we could go there tonight and spend an hour and a half just talking about the wickedness of people's social drinking today. Amen. Shame on them. He said, but buy wine and milk without money. Without money and without price.
Yeah.
Why? Why no price? It's free. Free, and it's freely given. Wherefore, do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in, itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear your, and your soul shall live, and I will make everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Oh, Isaiah 2:5 says, back 53 chapters in Isaiah, he says, O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Hey, God, tell you, Jesus says, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. You know, you're no longer walking in darkness as a child of God.
Amen.
He said, we're walking in the light as a believer in Jesus Christ. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for you and what Jesus has done for me. Look at the book of John. Keep your Bible finger, amen, here in the book of Revelation. And go back for a second with me to the book of John. And let me get myself back there. John, and let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I'm going to just one verse in John chapter 4. Over in John chapter 4, I believe this is the right verse. I went down to verse 29. The Bible says, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?
Amen.
Remember the woman at the well? Come. After she knows, she believes, she's trusted, she's going into the city and telling all these people, come, see a man that told me what everything I've ever done. Is not this the Christ? By the way, can I tell you what? When you got saved, you came underneath the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. You know what he was telling you? This is what you've done.
Yeah.
This is what you've done.
Yeah.
This is what you've done. This is what you've done. And you need to get saved. And we get saved. Amen. Can I tell you this? After you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, don't do this, but this is what you've done. Don't do this, but this is what you've done. And don't do this, but this is what you've done. Don't do this, but you know what you need to do? Confess it and get it right with God. Amen. Come and see Jesus. Come and see him with the heart of God as a child of God. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy and laden, and I will give you rest. He said, come unto me, amen. He still wants you to come to him, no matter if you've been saved or not saved. He wants you to come to him, amen. He wants you to make things right with him as a child of God. His last plea in the book of Revelation, one of the last things he says is, come unto me. Well, I tell you what, I think we just need to be obedient to the scriptures and come unto Jesus, amen. The Holy Spirit moves you, come unto Jesus. Get those things right with the Lord, amen, as a child of God. Look at the next thing with me. We see the last problem that we talk about in the Word of God, the last problem. We see the last plea. But look at the last problem with me in verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. are in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I tell you what, we'll take that, and it's good. It's good application, those two verses about many other, they call them translations. There's really one translation of the Bible, and that's King James. Yeah. But they'll take it and they'll say all these other things, and they will use this verse to say, there you go, these plagues written in this book are going to fall on those who have not done this. But you know what? When you add to the Word of God,
yeah.
and you add, let's say you add to salvation, you're adding to the Word of God. You say, well, you need to be saved, and if you're not baptized, you can't go to heaven. You're adding to the Word of God.
Right.
You say, if you're saved and you're baptized, but you can lose your salvation, you're adding to the Word of God. Amen. And he warns you and I not to add to his Word. Don't add anything to his Word. It ought to be the very Word of God. Something I appreciate about your pastor, he says, the Lord tells you something, you ought to be able to find at least two verses about that in the Scripture. Amen.
Right.
And that, you know what? Because that will settle the Word of God. It won't. You won't take it out of context. Too many people today take the very Word of God out of context, and then because they take it out of context, they're adding to the Word. 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 And they put all these stipulations of man upon the people, but not the stipulations of God. We got to be so careful that we don't add to the very Word of God as a child of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 through 2 says, now this, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which you neither your, which the Lord God your fathers giveth you, ye shall not add unto the word which I commanded you, neither shall ye diminish from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. He said, well, even though back in the Old Testament, don't add, and don't take away what I said. Do what I said, obey what I said, follow me what I said. Don't take away from the Word of God. And Israel tried to do that a few times, taking away from the very Word and adding to the Word of God. I got a message I've been preaching. If you go over into the Bible and stay out in the book of John, and you go to Nicodemus, I might preach it this week about Nicodemus, and you realize that there were in Israel that there were, I believe it was 600 Pharisees, could never be more than, and could not be less than. So if one died, they always had another Pharisee in there, and then you had the scribes who added to the Word of God that the Pharisees followed. They added to and took away from the truth of the Word of God. Boy, you want to know why Israel is such a mess, you know. But praise God, he's coming back for them. Praise God, he's going to bring them through this. Praise God, why? Because of what Jesus Christ has done upon the cross of Calvary. That's the only reason. Deuteronomy 12:32 says, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. Man, how much plainer can you get in the Word of God? And Revelation says, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. If you take away from it, you're in trouble, amen. Don't do that. Don't add to it, because if you add to it, guess what? You're in trouble. So we come up with all these man-made rules that man can't keep. Why? Because they're not of God.
Yeah, right.
We have to obey the things of God, that we might be able to be obedient to the very Word of God. God will never ask you to do anything that you cannot accomplish. Amen. So some people like to change the Word of God because they say, I can't do that. No, yes you can. Because God will never ask you or teach you to do something that you cannot accomplish. Proverbs 30 verse 5 through 6 says this. I like Proverbs, amen. He says this, every word of God is pure.
Yeah.
Every, not just part of it. Not just one word, not just one verse, not just one chapter, not just one book, but every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Watch. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee. And watch this, and thou be found a liar.
Yeah,
right. Boy, I tell you what, don't add to the Word of God.
Yeah.
Don't take from the Word of God. Amen.
Yeah, right.
But keep the Word of God in your heart as a believer in Jesus Christ. Look with me if back to next thought I want to show you now is look down at verse 20. He which testifieth these things say, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Listen to it one more time. He which testify these things saith. Who testifies these things? Who's the testifier of these things? The Lord Jesus Christ. John's talking about him, amen. John's testifying for him. Amen. So he says, he which testify these things saying, surely, who's coming quickly? The Lord. He said, Jesus says, I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now we see here the last promise. This is the last promise in Scripture. Amen. So you have the last plea. You have the last problem. And here you have the last promise in the very Word of God. Even so, he says, come quickly. Or come, Lord Jesus. He says, surely I come quickly. Amen. And the last problem. Look at Revelation 22 and verse 12 there. You're in 22 already. Look at verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his works shall be. You know, works do count for something for you as a believer in Christ. Not to keep your salvation, but it's part of your reward.
Yeah,
part of your reward. I'm wondering, I get my thought in my mind. I know some people that pray for me, godly people that I know have prayed for me every day.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if their crown's going to be just a little bit heavier than mine. Amen? I just wonder if their crown, a few more jewels than what I have. You know, I'm just a little bit heavier than what my crown will be. And I get to thinking about that. When they cast their crown at Jesus' feet, it's heavy. It's going to stop. I cast my crown at Jesus' feet. I just wonder if it just roll a little farther away. Amen. I'm just supposing some things. I'm just supposing some things. Don't go out and say Mike's a heretic. Amen, please. I'm just saying that makes me think. Amen. About people who pray and people who I know who know the Word of God and people I know who are much greater preachers than I can ever be. People I know who are godly individuals that I love and they love me. And then I just wonder how this is going to work out in the end. Because, man, we're going to all receive a reward for our works. Not to keep your salvation. Not to hold on to your salvation.
Amen.
Not to keep you saved. Not for anything else other than there's a reward at the end when it's all over.
Amen.
With the last promise, boy, that's going to happen. And the last promise, he said, I'm coming back. 2 Timothy 4:8 says this, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, now watch, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Can I ask you a question? Do you love the appearing of God? Amen. I can't wait to see. I know they say he's going to come in the clouds. I got a feeling, man, when he shows up, we're not going to even recognize it until we're halfway into heaven. Amen. Whoa, man, I feel good.
Yeah.
Woo, my chest don't hurt anymore. Woo. Hey, Scott, I wonder if the stents will be left behind. Amen. I want it the pacemaker drops out hallelujah, amen. I tell you, I can't wait to see Jesus. I'm looking forward to it. I had a dream. I probably told you this. I always say I had a dream. I had a dream. No, I had a dream one time that I was traveling in the back seat of a car, and I think my wife was driving. I can't remember why she was driving because she won't drive if I'm there. I have to drive, you know, because she said, you're the man. You always wanted to drive, so drive. I'm not going to drive, she says, you know. So I'll drive. But in this dream, she was driving, and I'm in the back seat. And all of a sudden, I look up out of the window, and I see a cloud, and I see Jesus in the cloud. What did he look like, Brother Mike? I can't tell you. I just know he was there. and I woke up. Oh, God. What a disappointment that was. I mean, I woke up and I'm still here in this stinking, rotten, filthy body, and Jesus didn't take me. Now, he would, don't get me wrong, but at that time he didn't, amen, because I woke up too quick, amen. And probably if I wouldn't have waked up, I'd probably been dead and been in heaven anyway, amen. So who knows, amen. I have no idea. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. There's a reward, amen. There's a reward. This last promise, a reward for you and a reward for him. But he says, understand this, every one of us, he's not talking to the unsaved right here, right now. He's talking to born-again believers. Every born-again believer, every one of us, because that's who he's writing to, shall give himself an account to God.
Amen.
One day you're going to stand before God and give an account of your life. Give an account of what you did not do, or maybe what you did do that you should not have done, because you never confessed it, never got right with God. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, there's a lot of times during the day I have to confess once or twice a day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's it.
Probably. Well, you have to see. I'm not like you. I'm a good boy, you know. So I'm just saying. sometimes more than that, amen.
About once an hour.
Yeah.
Half hour.
Yeah. I've been with you all week. It's about once every 2 seconds, amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. But God's good, isn't he? But you're going to give an account. One day you got your boys and ladies and gentlemen, you're going to stand before God one day and give an account for your life before
right.
the Lord. You're
right.
saved. You're going to give an account about what you've done since you've been saved as a believer in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm afraid that I'm afraid that what I think I've done is not going to be what God thinks I've done. Amen. I got a feeling that because I think I've done this all right, and I've got a feeling that I'm going to have to give an account for some things I've done that I thought was okay.
Amen.
I'm going to have to give some answers. But
amen.
Listen, you are too.
Ouch.
Revelation 22:7 says this, over to back to verse 7 now. Watch what he says. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Boy, he says, I come quickly. That term quickly, that means fast.
Yeah.
That means like in the twinkling of an eye, as we see in the scripture, that when we're taken up in the twinkling of an eye, that's how quick he's coming. Boom, just like that, you know. And you're not going to see him until he gets here. You're not going to recognize, I don't know if we're going to recognize it until we get into glory, brother,
amen.
You know, on our way up, amen, on our way up.
Well,
some of us are going to get up faster than others only because some of you are lighter than I am, amen, I'm just saying. Well, you're shorter. I don't know if you meet me there or not. I think top of my head will hit glory before yours does, amen. And then look with me, if you will. We see the fourth thing this evening, the last plea, the last problem, the last promise. And then look at the last prayer with me.
Yeah.
The last prayer. He says in verse 21, well, he says, even so, Lord Jesus. But then he says, let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What's he talking about, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, this only applies to born-again believers. Those say, have you ever felt the grace of God in your life? You ever heard a song that just makes you sit there and you begin to weep? I have. I'm a 72-year-old man. I'm tough. I'm an ex-convict. I don't cry. And I weep all the time. Amen. For years, I never cried for a number of years before. Didn't cry before I was saved. You couldn't make me cry before I was saved. And then after I got saved, Miss Jamie, I'm a stinking baby sometimes, amen. And I'll just start weeping, you know. You start hearing about the things of Jesus and what he's done for you. Boy, it does something in here. It does something in here. Other than stents, it does something in here, amen. boy, my defibrillator went off a while back.
Oh,
yeah. I tell you what, I passed out before it happened, and that's why it went off. My heart rate went to 220 beats a minute, and I went out like a light. I told my wife, I'm passing out. And that's the last thing I remember seeing. I was out in my chair. And she says, you snorted real loud two times and weren't breathing. And she said, then I saw you jerk. And the doctor says, yep, your defibrillator went off, you know. I said, man, I'm glad I wasn't awake, amen. Praise the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, even. The Bible says this, until he comes, live by his grace. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. By the grace of God, let your moderation, let your life live before man, known unto all men. Let people know that you're a Christian. Let people know that you're saved by the grace of God, but not just saved by the grace of God, but you're living by the grace of God. Some of us need a little more grace, amen. I need a little more grace in my life.
Yeah, amen.
I need to expand that.
Yeah.
You know. Me too. You know, how many of us like mercy?
Love it. Amen.
How many of us like to give mercy? Not me, you know. Yeah, I fight with that one. And I love the grace of God. But sometimes I don't have very much grace with other people. Amen? Isn't that true? We're all like that. We're all like that. So, you know, let your moderation be known unto men that the Lord is at hand. Live by grace in such a way, in such a mannerism, that people see grace working in your life and you're extending that grace to other individuals.
Amen.
Why? For what purpose? That they might get saved, number one. Number two, that they might get things settled with the Lord. Amen. Like we were talking earlier today that you'll catch more bees with honey than you will with sour cream. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 says, that ye be soon not shaken in your mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Amen. He said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The day of the Lord is at hand. James chapter 5, verse 8 through 9. Be ye also patient. Amen. Be patient. Here's the grace of God. Be also patient. Establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not against one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. He said, just be careful, amen. Just be careful. Now, judging is so easy to do, amen. I've been judged, pastor, you've been judged just because we're preachers. You're judged because you preach the word of God right sometimes. But not only that, but I've judged people sometimes. And I try not to do that. You know, but if the word of God judges you,
right.
And the word of God speaks to your heart,
right.
And you get mad, it's not the preacher, if he's preaching the word of God, it's not the preacher you're getting mad at, but it's God. So we need to stay with the book, amen. And listen to what the word of God says. Obey him. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking them, assembling your together as a manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. There's a reason for that scripture there, that we might stay true to God, that we might stay in the house of God,
amen.
That we might be obedient to God, that we might listen to God. And his prayer says, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'd rather be in the pulpit or sitting in a pew in a church than sitting at home watching a television set if Jesus showed up on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Let's be in the house of God, amen.
Amen.
If you showed up on Wednesday night, let's be in the house of God. If you showed up at revival meetings, let's be in the house of God. If he comes back, I hope, I'd love to be in the house of God. I'd love to be preaching, because if I go and you don't, you got a problem.
Amen.
2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards work, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Amen. That's a prayer. His last prayer, Lord Jesus, he comes quickly. He said, boy, but before I come, you know something, I want that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
One day, that last soul is going to get saved.
Yeah.
I always wonder. I just had a young man up at Dr. Hemis's get saved on Easter Sunday morning. Up there, his girlfriend, who had evidently gotten saved when she was in vacation Bible school one time, and doesn't really come to the church, but once in a while, she brought him that Sunday morning, and I preached a message about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he got up, walked the aisle, and got saved that Sunday morning. In the church service, the pastor told me afterwards. I said, "No, preacher." I said, "Now you get somebody to work with." He said, "Yeah, man." He said, "I've been praying. We've been praying for somebody to get saved every week." He said, "God's been gracious to us, amen." And the day this young man got saved, because we prayed for salvation of his soul today, and this young man got saved, and then preacher told me. He said, "Well, listen." He said, "He's living with her, and that's their child. That's when, now that he's saved, you can work on them to get married, amen." He said, "Yep, I'm going to do that." Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't God good? Amen.
The
praise the Lord. But you know what that is? On the pastor's part, that's grace.
Yeah.
Because I want to work with them. I want to see them do right.
Yeah, that's right.
You know. And boy, I tell you, we just need grace in our lives to work. His last prayer again. Oh, even so, come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. And we need to make sure that we're in the right line with God, amen, as the children of God, being obedient to him, not to what we want, not to what we think, not to what we even want to do, but what he thinks, what he wants to do in our lives as his children, because he knows much more was better for you than we know for ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Simply the last four things. I don't know where people are in their Christian lives, and it don't matter to me, because where you're at in your Christian life is between you and God. I can look at you and say, "Well, I think they're here, or they're doing this, or yada, yada, yada." But that means nothing. You know where you're at between you and God, amen?
Yeah, amen.
You know where your heart is. You know what God wants of you. You know how he wants to use you. You know what he wants to do in your life. You say, "Well, he hasn't spoken to me." Then get in his word and get in prayer, because he will always speak to you through his word and prayer. So here's a question tonight. If the Lord speak to your heart this evening about anything. If you did, would you slip up your hand? Can I pray for you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can put them down. God bless you. Anybody else tonight before I go to the Lord in prayer?
Amen.
Father, I thank you for these that raise your hand, Lord. Oh God, you know their heart, and you know their desire, and you know their need. And I pray, Father, tonight that you'd have your will and your way accomplished in our lives. Father, I know sometimes our prayers seem to be mundane to you, and sometimes it seems like I pray the same thing every night, Father. And Lord, I don't do that with intention, Father. My heart is for these people. God, that you minister them. Wrap your loving arms around them, Father. Move them with your Holy Spirit, Father. Strengthen them. Lead them. And guide them, Father, to do what's right in their Christian lives, to be obedient to thee. And we will give you the praise and the thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, stand to our feet. And the Lord spoke to your heart this evening. Before I go any farther, the Lord spoke to your heart. And before Pastor comes up, why don't you come to the altar tonight? How about it right now? You just come. Lord spoke to your heart. If you can't get up on the altar, you can sit on the front pew. Just sit down on the front pew. Don't worry about coming up and kneeling down if you have a hard time, please. You just come up to the front pew and let God do in your heart what he wants to do. Just ask him to help you and to strengthen you and to lead you and to guide you, amen. Because because it's all about Jesus and not about you and not about me. You come. Lord spoke to your heart.
God's in with your heart. You come on. I'm thankful for how good God is. Scott, are we still on? Brother Scott, are we off now? Okay. God's dealing with your heart. You come on. Some good stuff there.